Welcome to the Denver Community Church Teaching Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us today from wherever you are. Whether you attend one of our Denver locations or listen online, our hope is to explore and participate in the life of Jesus so that we can be a healing presence in our world. As you listen to this teaching, allow it to begin a conversation between you and God, you and the Bible, and you and your community. If you have any questions about DCC or this teaching, you can email us at info@denverchurch.org. And if you'd like to financially support our community and beyond as we set aside 20% of every dollar given to support our partners locally and around the globe, you can text the words Denver Church to 77977. That's Denver Church to 77977. Thank you for joining us today.
Morning. Happy Easter. Yeah, we can be excited, right? My name is Amanda Lum, and I'm the Uptown Neighborhood Pastor on staff here at DCC. It's so good to be together with you both in person and online this morning. Thanks for joining us. It's great to be together to celebrate what this day represents and the invitation that it holds for each of us. If you'd like to follow along with the reading this morning, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 23. But before we jump into our time of teaching, I'd like for us first to just take a moment to pause and to breathe and to pray together. So let's do that. God, thank you for this day, for the hope, the restoration, the resurrection that it holds. God, I pray that you would open us up to experience your presence this morning, which is already in our midst. And I pray that we would be more the men and women, the people that you've made us to be because we are in it. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 23. We're going to be looking at the burial of Jesus, and we'll begin reading in verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action, speaking about Jesus. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. So, of course, leading up to these verses, we're told about Jesus's last moments. We're told about his crucifixion, which took place on a Friday, right? And it's likely that for many of us, the events that took place on that Friday and Jesus giving his life on the cross, that's familiar to us, right? We talk about Good Friday often in the church and remember all that Jesus did when he gave his life on the cross. Friday is familiar. And here we are on Easter Sunday, right? And we know why we're here. We're here to celebrate that the story does not end in death. It doesn't end on Friday. We're here to celebrate resurrection. This day is likely familiar to us as well. See, Good Friday and Easter Sunday, well, they're foundational to the Christian faith, right? So of course, they would be familiar to us. These 2 days, they're set apart, and they should be. Friday is familiar. Sunday is familiar. My question for us this morning is, have you ever wondered about Saturday? What about the day that rests between death and resurrection? See, Luke tells us that a man named Joseph goes to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body for burial, right? Joseph takes Jesus' body down from the cross, wraps it in linen cloth, and then places it in the tomb. Some of Jesus' friends, women who had followed him from Galilee, they watch Joseph lay Jesus' body to rest. And then they go home and they prepare spices and perfumes for his burial, but they don't go back to the tomb No, we're told that they stay home and they rest on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. There is a full day between death on Friday and new life on Sunday. See, we often talk about Friday, and we may even talk even more about Sunday, but we almost never talk about Saturday or even acknowledge it. See, these 2 days, they're familiar, but what about Saturday? Have you ever wondered about Saturday? What was that day like for those who were closest to Jesus? If we could go back and sit with them, what would they say to us on that day? What if we could sit with Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends? What was the ache in Peter's heart when he heard the rooster crow that Saturday morning, but this time Jesus was gone? Did the sound remind Peter of the last time he saw his friend's face, but he was denying that he ever knew him? What would Peter say to us if we could sit with him on that Saturday? Maybe he'd say, "Is he gone? He's gone. It's over. What do we do now?" Or what about the disciples? Did they wake up that Saturday morning and begin packing their things for the long journey home? Did they have to stay in the house in Bethany that they shared their last meal with Jesus in? Did they pack silently alongside one another because they just couldn't find the words to say? And as they began their journey, did they have to walk past the place where Jesus was arrested or the place where he was beaten and tortured? Did they have to walk past the place where their teacher, their mentor, their friend, the Messiah, was crucified just the day before? What would they say to us if we could walk with them? "He's gone. It's over. Is he really gone? Like, what do we do now?" And what if we could sit with Mary, Jesus' mother? You guys, as a mom, I can't even begin to imagine what Mary was feeling that Saturday. I mean, what can a mother say who just seen her son brutalized less than 24 hours ago? What could she say? "He's gone. Is he really gone? Did this happen? What am I supposed to do now?" You see, Saturday is real. That day between death and resurrection is real. Saturday, it's that space between, isn't it? It's the ultimate liminal space that's just filled with tension. It's the space between brokenness and wholeness, between light and or dark and light, between wounding and healing, between death and new life. Saturday is the space between, and oftentimes Saturday is filled with questions that are soaked in our grief. Why? Why did this happen? Is this even real? What do we do now? See, Saturday, it's that space between. And Saturday, it's real, right? I mean, even though we don't talk about it much, I think it's likely that Saturday is familiar to us as well. My guess is that many of us could say what Saturday feels like, and we can say that because we've been there. Maybe we've had to wake up the day after our son was arrested. Or maybe we woke up the day after we broke up with the person who we thought we'd spend the rest of our life with. Maybe we've woken up the day after losing our dream job that we fought so hard for. Or maybe we've had to wake up the day after spending our last moments with the person who means more to us than we could ever say or express, but now they're gone. See, Saturday, That day between death and new life is real. It's heavy. And maybe for some of us, even living through this pandemic, this last year, it's just felt like one long Saturday. So much loss, so much change, so much to grieve, so much to process. Saturday helps us understand how David can shout out in Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord? How long must I wrestle with these thoughts and day after day carry sorrow in my heart?" That is Saturday. Saturday is real. And I know that Saturday is real because I have sat in my own Saturday. It wasn't that long ago that I remember talking with a friend after, it was a couple days after one of the worst days of my life. My friend called to check on me, and I remember just kind of telling her all that had happened in the last 3 days. I went through all of it, and my friend just sat silently on the phone with me, and her silence honored my pain. She held my sorrow with me in that moment. And after telling her everything that had happened, I remember saying to her, just trying to make sense of it all, just trying to figure it out. I said, well, maybe this is just what God has for me. Maybe this is just the story that God has for us. Maybe this is it. And I'll never forget what my friend said to me in that moment. She said to me, "My sweet friend, I am heartbroken with you, and I hate that you have to go through this. You shouldn't have to face this. But I can't sit here and believe that this is all God has for you. I can't believe that because there is no resurrection in this story. There's no new life yet." And she said, "I don't know how long we'll have to wait, but I will wait with you until we see resurrection in this story, until we see and experience and we know together what new life looks like." See, when I was in the thick of Saturday, kind of weighed down by the heaviness of it, my friend reminded me that Sunday was coming. But oftentimes when we are sitting under the weight of Saturday, it's hard for us to even consider the possibility of Sunday. We can't even begin to comprehend what resurrection could look like in our life. But here's what's fascinating. 2,000 years ago, on the Saturday after Jesus gave his life on the cross, the disciples couldn't see it either. See, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women, they wake up and they grab the spices and perfumes and they head to the tomb. And as they approach the tomb, they see that the large stone that had been placed at the entrance was rolled away. So they run inside and they see that the tomb is empty. Distraught, they begin to wonder, well, where did they take his body? Where did they put him, right? And then the angel appears next to them and says to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And the women look and respond to the angel saying, "What?" Like, I'm sorry, can you say that again? Huh? The women are confused. They have no idea what's going on. Have you ever noticed that in all the resurrection accounts, in all the interactions that Jesus has with his followers after he is raised, there's a common theme to them? Confusion. No one has any idea what's going on. Everyone is completely and utterly confused by what's happening. Why, right? I mean, John, in his account, tells us that when the women run back to tell them that they'd seen the tomb was empty, that John and Peter then run to the tomb themselves because they have to see for themselves what's going on. And as they enter the tomb and they see that it's empty and the cloth's on the ground, we're told they have no idea what's happening. They don't know what's going on. Mary encounters Jesus in the tomb, but she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. And she starts asking him, where did they put Jesus' body, right? And Luke tells us that when the women go to the disciples to tell them what they had seen and heard from the angels, that the disciples say to them that their words seem like nonsense to them. They basically say they're fools. It's foolish. This is ridiculous. What are you talking about? No one knows what's going on. They're all confused. So why? I wondered, why are they so confused? I'm pretty sure Jesus was clear about this in his life, right? I mean, he told the disciples, I'm going to be handed over to the hands of sinners. They're going to crucify me. And then on the third day, I'll be raised again. So why are they so confused? Well, here's what I've unearthed as I've studied the resurrection accounts. No one, absolutely no one saw it coming. See, we sit here on Easter Sunday, and we know why we're here, right? We're not showing up this morning going, I wonder what happened, right? What happened? No, we all know what happened. We're here to celebrate that the story doesn't end on Friday, that the story ends with resurrection, new life. We know about the resurrection. But in Jesus' day, this was unthinkable because nothing like it had ever happened before. See, we can't expect them to see the resurrection the way that we do today because nothing like that had happened before. See, resurrection and the way that we think about it today, it just culturally didn't make sense. See, because belief in resurrection, it wasn't like universally held in Jewish thought. Even the Sadducees who follow the written Torah, they didn't believe in resurrection. The most commonly held belief around resurrection in Jesus' day was a belief in resurrection at the end of all things. No one was expecting the Messiah to be resurrected. No one, not even those closest to Jesus, were even considering the possibility of his resurrection just days after his death. And scholars have long observed this to be true. N.T. Wright speaks to this when he says this. There are no traditions about a Messiah being raised to life. Most Jews of this period hoped for resurrection. Many Jews of this period hoped for a Messiah. But nobody put these two hopes together until early Christians did so. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Maybe this is why Martha says what she does to Jesus in John chapter 11. Martha's brother Lazarus had just died, and Jesus is there, and speaking to Martha in her grief, Jesus says, "Your brother will be raised again." And Martha responds to Jesus, and she says, "Yes, Lord, he will be raised again in the resurrection at the last day." See, what Martha says here, it's the full expression of what a majority of Jewish people thought and understood the resurrection to be in Jesus' day. Nothing like this had happened before. So there was no category in their minds to process what was taking place. Of course, they're confused. See, in order for the disciples to even begin to comprehend what happened on that Sunday morning, they had to open themselves up to something completely unexpected, totally brand new, something that had never happened before, an entirely new reality. This is what resurrection does. It opens us up to realities we never dreamed possible. See, resurrection, it's not simply bringing something back to life. It's not bringing it back to what it used to be. Resurrection is completely brand new, totally unexpected. But oftentimes, I think our ideas of resurrection, well, I think they look more like resuscitation. We just want things to go back to the way that they were. We just want things to go back to normal, right? But resurrection is not resuscitation. Jesus brings Lazarus back to life. He resuscitates him. Lazarus lives his life and then dies again. Resurrection takes what is broken and transforms it into something completely brand new. Resurrection is not resuscitation. Resuscitation says, just take me back to what it was. Resurrection says, we'll build something completely new from this. Resurrection opens us to the possibility of something we never dreamed possible. And the resurrection of Jesus for the disciples, well, it was completely unexpected, right? Totally new. And to see it, they had to open themselves up to seeing in a new way, knowing in a new way, living in a new way. And this is still true of resurrection today. See, resurrection opens us up and says that redemption, healing, wholeness, it can look like more than anything you could have ever dreamed of. See, resurrection, it breaks into the heaviness of Saturday and reminds us that Sunday is coming. It opens us up to the possibilities of Sunday. Resurrection says that no heart will be left shattered and broken. Resurrection says, like the prophet Isaiah says of God, see, I am doing a new thing. Will you perceive it? Resurrection, it honors the past, the place that we have come from, but says you can't go back there because God has something far greater in store for you. Resurrection says that we can expect the unexpected. Resurrection says that death does not get the last word. Resurrection says, didn't see that one coming. See, resurrection, it opens us up to endless possibilities of healing and wholeness. So much more than we could expect. See, when I think about what resurrection looks in this life, I think about my friend who, for most of his life, had an incredibly painful relationship with his dad. And if you would have asked my friend 15 years ago if he and his dad would have a relationship in this life, he would have said, no way, not possible. I don't ever see that happening. There was no bringing this relationship back. But over time, God opened my friend and his dad up to the endless possibilities of resurrection. And today, they have one of the most unbelievably deep and expansive and beautiful relationships. A relationship that is offering things to them that they never thought possible. And you guys, when my friend talks about his dad, he tears up. And you can't help but cry tears of joy alongside him for the new life, the healing, and the wholeness that they have found in their relationship. It is resurrection. It is new life. It is something more than they ever dreamed possible for their relationship. I know what Saturday is like. But my friends, I also know what Sunday feels like too. See, years ago, when my friend had that conversation with me and she reminded me that Sunday was coming, our Saturday wasn't over. For years, we wept and we grieved and we waited, and it was hard and painful. But over time, God has opened us to the possibility, the endless possibility of resurrection, of healing, of wholeness. And today, I can stand here and say that it didn't look like anything I ever expected. There were times in that season where I wondered if I would ever be whole again. And I stand here today, more whole, more healed, more the woman I was made to be than I ever thought possible. And it's still going. There hasn't been an Easter that's gone by that I haven't texted my friend to thank her for sitting with me in my Saturday and reminding me of the possibility of Sunday. I texted her this morning at 5:30, a.m., to thank her and to tell her that I am still in awe of the goodness, the wholeness, the healing that I am seeing in my life, because resurrection can happen and it can be more than we ever dreamed possible. So maybe you're here this morning, and as I talk about the heaviness of Saturday, you're remembering seasons where you were in Saturday too. But this morning, those seasons feel distant. Well, if that's where you are this morning, then maybe the invitation for you is to be the friend who sits with those who are in Saturday. To be the friend who holds their sorrow with them and honors their pain. To be the friend who can remind them that Sunday is coming. The friend that will wait with them until they see resurrection in their story. Or maybe you're here, and after spending so long on Saturday, you're finally experiencing the possibilities of Sunday. You feel like you're experiencing resurrection. You're seeing new life. My encouragement to you is to keep your eyes open, because it's always more than we could ever dream. Just when we think the healing is done, God says, I think there's more here. Or maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself on Saturday. And maybe like the disciples, you're saying, it's over. Or maybe like me, you're saying, is this just what God has for me? Is this it? Well, if you find yourself on Saturday this Easter morning, let me be the one to offer you the same reminder that my friend gave to me years ago on my Saturday. I know today feels heavy. I know today can feel dark. We can hold that together. My friends, our story, your story, does not end on Friday. Sunday is coming. Resurrection is coming, and it will be more than we could have ever dreamed possible. My friends, God is doing a new thing. The question is, will we see it? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for giving your life so that we could be free. Thank you for helping us to see that your healing, your wholeness, your restoration, your redemption is far greater than anything we could ever dream possible. Thank you for the promise that resurrection is coming. May you give us eyes to see it, to know it, to live in it. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. And everyone says, amen.